Hello, 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 and welcome back to Decoding the Crimeverse. I'm Danny, and I'm joined with...
Glory.
That's correct. And today we are doing the Munich Massacre. Before this, I asked Glory that... Well, I told Glory that Munich was a city, to which he was very much insulted because... Yeah, clearly I have very little faith in his geography skills. But have you ever heard of the Munich Massacre?
No.
No, of course not. No, I'm kidding. He's just shaking his head at me. Well, the Munich Massacre was a terrorist attack on the Israeli Olympic team members at the 1972 Summer Games in Munich, which was orchestrated by a Palestinian militant group called Black September. So... the Munich Games were actually quite significant before the attack even happened, because it was the first return of the Olympic Games to Germany since the 1936 Games in Berlin, where Adolf Hitler tried to use the Olympics as a way to, well, use propaganda for the Nazi ideology. And while it was blatantly criticized, well, it was... heavily criticized for its blatant racism and anti-Semitism throughout the games. There was even a very good African-American track runner. I've forgotten his name, and he won a gold, and Mr. Hitler refused to shake his hand. So, yeah, it was not a great image portrayed onto Germany. And so when they were asked now to be or host the Olympic Games again in Munich, it was a chance for them to really show the world a contrast to the horrifying spectacle that was the Olympic Games in Berlin years before. It was also quite a big thing because in 1968, at the Mexico City Olympics, there had been quite a disturbing event which had happened 10 days before the games, when in Mexico City hundreds of students who were protesting were gunned down by government forces, and this led to a very militarized presence during the game. And this is then why actually in Munich they decided, okay, they spent less than $2 million on security, and every security personnel had to be unarmed and look inconspicuous, because they didn't want to have this huge military feel which they had had at the Mexico Olympics the previous games. And this was to their detriment, because the Olympics began on August 26, 1972, and there were thousands of athletes and from more than 120 countries, and they were the game was dubbed the Cheerful Game. So it was supposed to be this games that changed the perspective of Germany, showed that they were these friendly people, they weren't these Nazis, they weren't heavily militant, they were just a great place to be. But things didn't go too well. So, for more than a week, the games went pretty well. They started off really, really nicely. And I'm excited for these next games in Paris. I love watching the gymnastics and the synchronized swimmings. I can't care about anything else, but I do enjoy those. And the Day of Terror began at 4:30 a.m. on September 5th, 1972, where eight Palestinian militants who were affiliated with Black September, which was an offshoot of the Palestinian group Fatah, scaled the fence of the surrounding Olympic Village in Munich. Now, the Olympic Village is where the athletes stay. Okay, I know we didn't want to have security, but how little security are we having that these random people were able to scale the fence? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, really? Like, was it that lacking? Okay, but anyway, they disguised themselves as athletes and then used stolen keys when they forced their way into the quarters of the Israeli Olympic team at 31 Kolonelstrasse. I don't speak German, so excuse my pronunciation. They attempted to enter apartment 1 when they were confronted by Josef Gutfreund, which was a wrestling referee, and Moshe Weinberg, who was a wrestling coach. Weinberg was actually shot while fighting with the attackers, who forced him at gunpoint to lead them to the rooms of the remaining Israeli coaches and athletes. It has been proposed that Weinberg led the attackers past apartment 2, which was also being used by the Israeli team, because he believed that the wrestlers and weightlifters in apartment 3 would be able to fight back. Obviously, they're pretty big guys. It's a better chance than the skinny gymnastics. You know, you get what I'm saying. But it's more likely that the Palestinians actually avoided apartment 2 because that's where the sharpshooters, the Israelis, you know, they have the shooting in the games where they like shoot guns. I don't know. But apparently they were staying in apartment 2, which obviously it's a bit more risky going to that apartment, because if they get hold of guns, it's going to end badly for the Palestinians. So that was actually more the reason why people believe they avoided apartment 2 and went back to apartment 3. Because, I mean, you've got experienced marksmen and you don't want to go up against them. In apartment 3, the terrorists then gathered up the hostages and forced them back to apartment 1. A wrestler named Gad Trisbari broke from the group and dashed down a flight of stairs toward the parking garage, and Weinberg took the advantage of the confusion to fight against the attackers. Weinberg had nearly gained control of one of the terrorists' gun when he was shot and killed. And despite being on crutches due to the injury, Yosef Romano, a weightlifter, also made an attempt to disarm one of the terrorists. Romano was killed and his body was then left on the floor of apartment 1 as a warning. While the Israelis lay dead in the Olympic Village and 9 others were being held hostage, the International Olympic Committee, or the IOC, Chairman Avery Brundage insisted that the games continue. So he didn't stop anything. He was like, no, swim as you go swim, run as you go run, we'll handle the situation, basically. The terrorists demanded the liberation of more than 200 Palestinians, which were being held in Israeli prisons, as well as the relief of Andreas Bedar and Ulrich Manhoff of the Red Army faction from German prisons, as well as provision of an airplane to fly them to safety at a destination in the Middle East. Now, one thing about this attack, it happened after the Six-Day War, which took place in Israel/Palestine. Palestine attacked Israel and Israel was able to defeat them in 6 days. Yeah, it was not a great war, but basically after the attack, Israel managed to gain back their control and the war ended very quickly. And this was kind of a response to that on the Palestinians' side. And so while negotiations were going on, a planned rescue attempt had been called off when it realized that the action of West German police were being broadcast to nearly 1 billion people around the world. So at 10 p.m. on the Saturday the 5th, they believed that they had reached an agreement, and the terrorists led their bound and blindfolded hostages from their quarters into buses that transported them to waiting helicopters. Imagine going to the Olympic Games and then now you're a hostage. You know, I'm not even going to lie. I actually fear for the Israelis who are competing in this year's Olympics, because there's all over the world, there's this whole ban Israel from the Olympics. And I would not be surprised if the Palestinians would try something like this again to get a hold of the Israel athletes. History does repeat itself after all. So I hope those Israelis have some good security. I'm just saying.
I smell conspiracy theory.
What? What?
I smell conspiracy theory.
No, but you know that Hamas and the Palestine government, they don't really play by the rules. So I don't see any reason why they wouldn't do this again.
And I'm not disagreeing with you, but where's the evidence for the fact that they could do it?
Their nature.
Ah.
Yeah.
But that's not factual.
I'm just saying, history has a way of repeating itself. And especially, this was, I think, about 4 years after the Six-Day War. They're currently in a war. Do you not think they're going to want to make as much noise and damage as possible?
That is a possibility.
It is I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it is a possibility that it could happen again.
Yeah.
Right. So the helicopters carried them from Fürstenfeldbruck Air Base, which was 25 kilometers west of the Olympic Village, where police were lying in wait. Although the German army would have been better trained for the situation, under the West Germany's post-war constitution, the armed forces were forbidden from getting involved in or aiding the civilian police, which I think is a bit dumb. But anyway, the police snipers had never actually received any formal training of being sharpshooters, and they were improperly placed, and they were inadequate in number. They also lacked radios to communicate with each other and their commanders. It just sounds like something that is destined to fail from the start. In addition, they were armed with assault rifles rather than sniper rifles, and their weapons were neither long-range scopes or night vision capability. So, on the airbase tarmac was a Boeing 727 filled with 17 police officers disguised as flight crew. It was intended that these officers would subdue the terrorists once they boarded the plane, but the police all decided to abandon their posts. Guys, really? Really? Okay. Armored cars that were to have aided in the rescue were also late because they were stuck in traffic. I thought that's what sirens were for, you know? Like, really? For me, it also just sounds like everything, you know, when things go wrong.
Yeah.
But it's also a little bit suspicious that everything went this wrong. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, how can it, like, you have the wrong rifles, you don't have radios, Your backup is in traffic. Like, how can everything go so terribly wrong? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, the helicopters arrived at about 10:30 p.m. and the two terrorists went in to inspect the jetliner. They found it empty, and then they became aware that there had been a deception, and they shouted to their comrades. But at this point, the West German police began to fire upon them. A gun battle ensued, and several terrorists and one police officer were killed. The helicopter flight crews ran for cover, but the Israeli athletes were bound together and trapped. After the initial fire, it is in which the terrorists also shot out the floodlights that had been illuminating the tarmac, the scene settled into a tense stalemate punctured by sporadic gunfire. So basically, they were just now shooting at whatever they could shoot at. At midnight, a German official announced that all the hostages had been freed and the terrorists had been killed. But this was not true, because just after midnight, the terrorists tossed a hand grenade into one of the helicopters, killing all but one of the Israeli hostages abroad. David Berger succumbed to smoke inhalation before rescue personnel could reach him. And a second terrorist sprayed the interior of the other helicopter with bullets at close range, murdering the five remaining Israelis. Too late to aid the rescue effort, these armored cars, which had been stuck in traffic, reached the runway, but their crews had no knowledge that there were personal police in the field and had no way to communicate with them. So a gunman ran toward a position where one of the helicopter pilots and the police sniper had taken cover. The terrorists were shot and killed by the sniper, but the movement in the darkness alerted the armored car, and both the pilot and the sniper were wounded in friendly fire. Guys, you can't actually be serious. Like, this is absolutely a mess. Absolutely a shocking failed rescue attempt, I must say. By 12:30 a.m. on September 6th, the shooting had stopped and a 20-hour reign of terror was over. 11 Israelis had been killed, along with one Munich policeman, and five Black September terrorists lay dead. Three of the gunmen were then captured, and at 3 a.m., for the first time in history, the Olympic Games were suspended for 24 hours as a tribute to the murdered athletes. At the memorial service on September 6th, it was announced that the games would continue and they would not be cancelled. Now, this led to an inquiry of the tragedy, which was conducted by the German federal government, and the officials involved effectively exonerated the police and themselves. They reached this conclusion despite having commissioned a report which had predicted this event. So basically what they had done is they had hired this specialist to come in and say, what are the possible security risks we could face?
Yeah.
And I'm going to read you what his report said. It's actually ridiculous. His name was Cyber. He proposed that a dozen Palestinian gunmen would scale the fence of the Olympic Village at 5 a.m. They did it at 4:30. Seize Israeli hostages, kill one or two of them, and then demand the release for prisoners from Israeli jails and an aircraft to fly them to the Middle East. That is literally exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And you're telling me there was a theory this could happen and you did nothing about it? You did nothing about it? All right, guys, really? And guess what? This man was then let go of his job right after. Because they were like, oh, this guy, yeah, well, let's blame him. No, don't blame him. He was right. You were wrong. Anyway, I can't believe that. I can't believe how accurately he was able. Although this did raise suspicions that maybe the German government was involved a little bit. That also could have been why things went so terribly wrong, if you get what I'm saying. On October 29th, which was less than 2 months after the massacre, two Black September terrorists hijacked Lufthansa Boeing 727 on its way to Damascus. And they threatened to blow it up with the crew and passengers if their demands were not met, okay? And basically, they wanted the three remaining Munich gunmen to be separated. Not separated, released. And they obviously wanted their way back to the Middle East. And, well, the Munich government let them go. They let the gunmen go. They gave them to the terrorists, who then released the crew and the passengers. But this made Israel very angry because Munich didn't even get on the phone with them. They just released the prisoners. And the airliner, I don't even know what to say to that. And as a promise, that the then Fatah, this militant group, said they will never conduct operations again within West Germany. So West Germany basically just saved itself. Yeah.
Mm.
This then led to the Israeli Prime Minister responding with authorizing Operation Wrath of God, which then targeted the assassination campaign against Black September operatives and organizers. And it was a series of spectacular operations cut through the senior Palestinian leadership. However, the program was suspended in July 1973, and it was in 1977 when the planner of the Munich attack was actually arrested in France. But West Germany's extradition request was denied on a technicality, and he was released. Guys, I don't understand. He organized an entire massacre and he was released on a technicality. Please explain. Yeah, one positive step, however, was that actually West Germany went on to create a specialized counterterrorism unit, which is now known as one of the best counterterrorism forces in the world. But still, I don't see what they actually did, because that rescue attempt has got to be one of the most humiliating things that could have ever happened via the government. It was an absolute shambles. First, I don't even understand. No offense, this is because I watched too many movies. If it had taken place in America, it would have been like, send in the SWAT team, would have been done efficiently. No. Now all these people lost their lives, and it's actually really sad. And I actually have no words. There's actually a really good movie on it called Munich, about the people who then went on this Operation Wrath of God, who went and then killed the members of Black September as like in retaliation. I've never watched it, but I've heard it's really good. But yeah, that is the Munich massacre. Do you have any other thoughts on the matter?
Yeah, well, this is obviously all an inside job, a big screw up.
Big screw up.
I don't, yeah, like, I don't even see, yeah.
The fact that they were even able to get into the Olympic Village by scaling a fence is a complete like failure of the Munich government,
Yeah.
because then what would none of those athletes were actually safe.
Yeah.
And it must have been really scary. You're one of those athletes in that village, and now you're hearing all this gunfire. No. So I honestly think, yes, obviously at fault is the Palestinians, the Black September group, for obviously initiating the attack. But I do think the West Germany government does have some blame in this.
Yeah.
I feel like there was no proper what police force doesn't have radios to communicate with each other? It's
Yeah.
and this is 1972. It's not like in 1872. If it was 1872, I would have said okay, or maybe. But this is 1972. I mean, the technology was around. I mean, we'd sent someone to the moon by then. Like, come on, you get
Yeah.
what I'm saying? So for me, it's the if they had responded properly, I believe those Israeli athletes would be alive if they had taken this seriously. I think it was a complete shambles on the on behalf of the Munich forces.
Yeah.
But that's my own opinion. So that's the Munich massacre. Well, I'm very much looking forward to the Olympic Games coming up, hoping South Africa brings home some medals for us. But that is all for this week. We hope you enjoyed. Otherwise, we will see you next time. Goodbye.